What's good, gang? Gang, whole lot of gang shit. No, whole lot of true crime shit. Hope all of you had a good weekend and a good start to the week. Happy hump day. This is being recorded Wednesday. Gotta start by saying fuck you Cowboys. As usual, it's always fuck the Cowboys. It's still fly Eagles fly. I don't give a fuck if y'all beat us. We coming back. We gonna beat y'all the second time. I doubt that though. Unless we get them people on fucking defense back. Whew, it's gonna be a rough year as an Eagles fan. All my fellow Eagles fans, be strong out there. I'll be supporting you. I'm gonna start a support group on Facebook for this rough year we're about to have, or rough couple of years we're about to have. Unless we get Deshaun Watson, he's still an option. You know, even though it's gonna be, you know, about to be a rough year football, you know, I'll still be watching and talking about fuck, god damn it. But we ain't here to talk sports. Fuck that shit. We're here to talk about two of the worst teenage sons a parent could ever ask for, honestly. Today ended up becoming a double feature because, you know, why not end the month's topic, you know, with some wild cases? This month's topic being unspeakable crimes committed by kids and teens. As you can remember, the last couple of cases I went over, quite disturbing. And it just shows that sometimes psychopathy and just evil deeds can start very young. And it's usually a bad sign when they start that young. But it doesn't always mean this motherfucker's gonna turn into the worst piece of shit in the world. But, you know, yeah. Probably can lean towards that. These cases both feature parricide. Parricide is the killing of one's parents or parent. And, you know, this is absolutely just going to shock you that you probably haven't heard any of these. The first being absolutely one of the worst cases of parricide I've ever researched personally. And the second showing, you know, what sociopathy looks like, but it also is the case that really ignited the whole video games are the problem argument and teen violence that, you know, ignited back in early 2000. Unlike the majority of parricide, though, these cases don't feature abusive or bad parents. In fact, the parents in these cases are said to be simply just amazing parents. Supported, they showed, you know, a lot of love to the kids. So it just shows how shitty these kids truly are. And when I you know, point out the abusive or bad parents, that's usually what the majority of parricide perpetrators go through. They usually go through some sort of abuse from the parents, or just, you know, neglect, or just shitty parents in general, and these kids snap and kill them. This is not one of those cases at all. These are parents that, let me just say, no parent deserves, unless they're just complete pieces of shit, just raping and just doing terrible shit to their kids. No parent really deserves to be a victim of parricide. But these parents especially, like, they didn't deserve any kind of evil done to them in any way. Because these two pieces of shit subjects were pretty young when they committed their unspeakable crimes, not a lot of info about their past has come out. We will kind of touch on their upbringings just a tiny, teeny, teeny little bit, because like I said, not a lot. You know, we'll kind of go over a little tiny bit of their life, but, you know, before they became the monsters that they are. But first, let's inhale some nature into my lungs to expand my mind, body, and soul. Nah, but let's smoke some weed. Today's selection is one of my personal favorite. Good old GMO cookies. Of course, from the best shop in the state, Wolf Pack. If you have never had GMO cookies, seek it out right now. I'm telling you, seek it out right this second. It's simply one of the best strains, I think, today. It's an amazing cross of two of Cali's best strains to me, besides OG, which is my hands down favorite. OG Kushes are my favorite, but they're hard to come about here in Colorado. Good ones, at least. But these two strains, hands down, two of my favorites. Chem Dog crossed with the good old Girl Scout cookies just gives it, the Chem Dog gives it that OG kind of back taste. The Girl Scout cookies gives it that doughy, fruity, you know, funky taste. It's just, it is just a ridiculous taste, ridiculous high. One of the best chill out weeds on the market. If you just want to have, you know, a weed where you just chilling out, watching a movie, kicking it with your girl, you know, just relaxing, this is it. This is the weed, I'm telling you. Amazing. It's got a higher CBN, so that's why it's got that relaxing factor. For those who don't know what CBN is, go Google that shit. I ain't educating you. go check them out over at Wolfpack right now. They do have this on special. It's an 8-gram quarter you get for the 7-gram price. And don't forget to mention good old Token Talk when you go check them out. Now, light those bowls up or spark that J and let's toke and motherfucking talk, folks. Oh, my lighter's not working. Oh, okay, there we go. We got fire. Caveman shit. Ooh. I wish y'all could see this dope new Darth Vader bowl I got. It's really cool. Deep as a motherfucker, though. You could fit like 5 grams in that bitch. Jesus Christ. Ooh, expansion of the lungs. Feels so good. Ooh, clear the sinuses a little bit. Excuse me. Oh, nigga. Whew. Whew, took my breath away for a second. That's what it does, though. It's a powerful strain, guys. You ain't gonna find it under 25% THC. Trust me, it's usually 25 plus. This cut that I got tested at, you know, 27 and a half. So that's great. Oh, damn dogs. Hey, hush. Dogs. Such crazy assholes. Somebody's probably at my damn front door. They always bark when the mailman comes. So let's get into some fucking true crime, folks. How about that? Let's talk about some true crime, dirty motherfucking shit kids real quick. How's that sound? Hope y'all high. Hope you got your setting for your relaxed listening experience as I marinate you with my soft voice. Nah, let me not joke around, because this shit's brutal. Even though this is a double feature, it's going to be a shorter one because, like I said, there's not a lot of info about their past, nor is there an extreme amount of information about their crimes or post-crime lives. So can't really deep dive into a lot of stuff, but we are going to get into the details and the nitty gritty of their cases that has been released. and you're going to be, you're going to be, quite shocked by this. I'm going to start this session with the insanely brutal, just shocking, savage case of Kevin Davis. This is a case that isn't talked about much in the true crime world. And honestly, I believe it's because of the sheer brutality of it. I think a lot of people just don't want to cover this because it's fucked up. It really is. It's a fucked up case, guys. I'm just telling you right now, get ready. It's Now I've covered some brutal cases, but besides Ed Kemper, this motherfucker is the brutalist. I mean, this is true brutality. If you know about Ed Kemper, you know what he did to his mother. This is equally as evil. If you don't know what Ed Kemper did to his mother, I'll just give you a little, just a little snippet of what Ed Kemper did. And I will be covering Ed Kemper very soon. This is a guy that information, new information comes out about Ed Kemper because he just talks. He loves to talk. He's a very intelligent human being. So he definitely loves to talk. But Ed Kemper killed his mom, chopped her head off, had sex with her head, and then threw darts at her head. And yeah, so get ready for something like that. And it's in like, it's just like Ed Kemper. It's not just the murder. It's what he did after the murder that will truly make your jaw drop. Kevin Devis was born December 27th, 1995 in good old Texas. Yeah. To mother Kimberly Hill. By all accounts, Kevin was raised in a stable, good home with a loving, doting mother that provided her son with everything he needed. So it makes what he does to her even sicker. So let's just jump to that crime because, like I said, nothing's really talked about his past. So it was just a normal day on March 27th, 2014. When Kevin Devis came home and told his mother he was, quote, bored with his life and hated everyone, end quote. I get the last part of that, but first part, come on, man, cheer up. But I get the hated everyone, man. People suck sometimes. And he is kind of a nerdy guy, so I imagine he hated everyone because he didn't have a lot of friends. Maybe he got picked on. Not an excuse, but, you know, that's probably why. He was a nerdy-looking guy. Excuse me, I had to moisten my throat. His mother, of course, reacted as, you know, most caring parents would and tried to talk her son, you know, about the hardships of life and how he's making her concerned and how she should, you know, maybe get him into some, you know, therapy and get him some help. You know, like a good mother does. Try to help her son get better. It was in this conversation that Kevin's sick fucking ass snapped. He decided in that moment that he was going to kill his mother. He decided to kill his mom when his mom showed concern and love. When his mom was like, no, son, I love you. Don't do that. Come on. Let's get better. That's when he wants to kill his mom. Yeah, piece of shit. Then he attacked, taking his mother to the ground, and then he started strangling her with the cords from his video game system. When that didn't work, he then stabbed his mother in the head, but this too didn't kill her, so he upped his brutality to the extreme. He went and grabbed a hammer and proceeded to bash his mother in the head about 20 times, making her face completely unrecognizable. But this piece of shit decided to take his sickness up a notch, folks. As I told you, the murder was not the end of his sick brutality. As his mother's dead body laid there, he undressed her, and then he went on to proceed to have sex with her dead body. Yeah, folks, this sick fuck took necrophilia and incest and rolled it up in a ball and just knocked it out the park. This sick motherfucker honestly is the worst thing you could do to the woman that raised you. But when you hear what else he was planning and how he was with the police, you will realize this kid is a fucking sociopath, along with being a piece of shit. Just the worst human being. Just fucking shit. So Kevin almost waited for his sister to kill her too, but he decided against it. Instead, leaving a trail of blood in the home leading from the living room to the master bedroom, along with written messages such as nice soliloquies as, quote, chase me, sorry for the mess, signed KD. That's That's what he left for his sister to find. Good kid. Good kid. And then, quote, he also said, I had my fill of killing. It seemed a little much. That seemed a little much. My man, you just killed your mother and raped her dead body. You're past a mega munch. You're in the atmosphere of just, you're gone. You're not. Yeah, this. Yeah. That. But I'm glad you didn't kill your sister. But seemed like a little much is not the statement to use in this scenario. She was pretty lucky to escape his madness. You know, because you saw what he did to his mom. Who knows what he would have done to his sister? From his home, he took his bicycle and a backpack, and then he tried to leave town. He eventually just said fuck it and abandoned everything in a bush by the train tracks and walked to a home nearby in Robstown, where he just confessed to a couple at a house. Just random couple, not people that he knew. Weird. Yeah. Very weird. I guess some guilt hit him, but I doubt that. I think he just wanted people to know the sick shit he did, as most killers, you know, do. Or at least most psychotic killers like this fucking piece of shit do. Cops then arrested him, took him to the station where he had an interview, where he had to interview this fucking piece of shit. And let me just tell you, these cops had to show some extreme restraint. Listen to this sick son of a bitch fucking talk about the shit he did and his calm attitude and demeanor while talking about it. Just makes me hope that he's just, oh, I hope he's having a rough time in prison. Oh, I hope he's having a rough time. In the interview, Kevin told the detectives, quote, I wouldn't take back what I did. I did love her in a way. I'm a terrible, disgusting person, end quote. Okay, that I agree with you there, sir. You are a terrible, disgusting person. And there's no way you loved her in any way. You can't do this to someone you love. Fuck out of here, motherfucker. You ain't love that woman. Piece of shit. He also told detectives he had homicidal fantasies about his sister and mother, calling it, quote, a night to remember. What the fuck? Yeah, it's a night to remember. It's a fucking horror night to the remaining family. Your sister just fucking, they're never gonna forget this fucking shit. Jesus Christ. He described another fantasy where he would decapitate a girl before having sex with her body in a dress. Yeah. So you're just seeing how his psychopathy works. You're seeing just how sick this motherfucker is. Like, he takes sick to new levels. So yeah, pretty slam dunk case there, right? But for some reason, Kevin decided to plead not guilty. Like, dude, did you hear what you said to the cops, nigga? they gonna fry your ass. And his defense team knew it too. So come trial time, the prosecution knew they had a slam dunk case. That was just like, do we really have to do anything? And to make their job easier, the defense called no witnesses during the trial. And when Kevin's lawyers appealed for a lighter sentence in light of mental issues that Kevin had. Yeah, he had mental issues, but sorry. No, fuck you. The prosecution's reply was to say that it had seen no medical evidence or any mental or emotional illness. And then they had to bring up the old fact that,
you do know that you said a lot of shit to the cops, right? Do you remember this little gem that you said to the cops? Quote, I'm not mentally disturbed. I'm sane. I know what I did. I don't have standards. I don't have morals. A body's a body. A piece of meat. End quote. You remember when you said that? You don't remember when you said that? Yeah. I think you're aware of that you're not mentally disturbed, sir. I think, yeah, fuck you. So once again, I don't know why he pleaded not guilty. I'm sure his defense team were just as confused as everyone in the courtroom. But a lot of experts think it's simply to add to his notoriety. You gain more notoriety from a trial than from a guilty plea because details come out in trials. So he, you know, could definitely look like more of a piece of shit if trial happens. As you would expect, this was an easy one for the jury. It doesn't say how long they deliberated, but I imagine they just went in the room and just all just said, guilty, let's go home. on October 14th of the same year, Kevin was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. And that means his ass is in there for the rest of his fucking life. Texas does not play when it comes to prison sentences. Although, you know, shit always happens. Sentences get commuted. People get paroled a little earlier because the prisons get overcrowded. I say don't ever let out people like this, even if it's overcrowded. I think you should just let out people with, you know, bullshit weed charges, Texas. Let those people out. Don't let people like this out. And I don't know if y'all know this about Texas, but prisons ain't no motherfucking joke down there. So dude is more than likely getting just sexually abused and physically abused daily. I hope at least, you know, it's my hopes and dreams that's what's happening to him daily. If not, you know, just once a week would be good enough. That would be good. Let me light up another bowl while I play you guys, you know, a little snippet of his police interview, because it's quite fucked up. And I apologize for the poor quality of the audio, but just couldn't find any that had, you know, good fucking quality. Let's see. Here we go.
I tried to strangle him with a cord. I ripped the cord from a video game console controller. That didn't work. She was sitting on the couch laying eating open. That didn't work out too well. She started screaming, and so I went to her room, opened a drawer at the very bottom to the right. I pulled out a hammer. I went back in the living room, and well, you kind of get the gist from there. And, out pretty quickly.
Questioning by CCPD detectives R.L. Garcia and Ramiro Torres continued.
So when you dragged her to the living room, I mean to the bedroom, you kept on hitting her there?
Yeah, kind
of. That's when you reached in and grabbed her brain?
Yeah, I kicked out of the bed. Then I just, that was kind of silly, but then yeah, I just decided to reach in and kind of just do it. Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do after that?
Then I had sex with her corpse, actually.
That was the first time?
Oh, yeah, I lost my virginity to a corpse.
I don't know if you heard that last part. Did you hear it? If you didn't, he said, I had sex with her corpse. Yeah, I lost my virginity. I guess I lost my virginity to a corpse. Man, this guy is just, God, now you see why I hope he's getting brutalized in prison. At least I hope you do. And I hope you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, something's wrong with your mind. So now let's, by the way, that hit just fucked me up. Ooh-wee, I am, whew, that one got me. Now
to this next piece of fucking shit, Daniel Petrick. And this bundle of joy, I mean bundle of shit, decided to shoot his parents after his dad took his Halo 3 video game away. You know, because that's a reasonable reason to kill your parents. That's, yeah, Daniel. It's a fucking video game, bro. God damn. So let's get into it. Daniel was born August 24th, 1991. This did happen a little way back. He was 16 when it happened. To parents Mark and Susan Petrick, who, just like Kim from our last subject, were great parents, even if you disagree with their extreme religious beliefs. I'm not a religious person, so I don't, you know, necessarily agree with all the things they pushed on their kid, but by all means, they weren't, you know, bad parents. They weren't shitty parents. They weren't abusive parents. They were just religious. His dad was a pastor. You know, that's, you know, what you can expect from a pastor dad. So fast forward to, let's just go get into it. Let's fast forward into early fall 2007 when Daniel is 16. He was injured in a skiing accident, and due to the accident, he contracted a severe staph infection. That's when things went downhill. According to his sister, this staph infection made him extremely isolated at home, and it was then when video games would kind of take over his life. Daniel was introduced to the Halo franchise while visiting his friend's house, leading him to want a copy for himself. His father, Mark, was a minister, like I said, at the New Life Assembly of God in Wellington. Both parents objected to the idea of their son playing a violent video game and did not find it appropriate for him. So they said, no. Mark later claimed he told Daniel that if he were to buy any violent video games whatsoever, he would get rid of them, which, you know, didn't sit well with Daniel. But Mark told his ass, hey, Pops was like, nigga, if you get a game, I'm gonna fuck your shit up and I'm gonna take the game. So keep that in mind. So Mark testified that Daniel would regularly sneak out of the house at night without either parent's knowledge, and then he would go purchase the violent games that his parents didn't approve of. And he also used this method to purchase Halo 3 shortly after its release. While housebound, Daniel would sometimes play the game for up to fucking 18 hours at a time without taking a break. God damn, bro. I can't do anything for 18 hours without taking a break. Nigga, god damn. Halo's fun. I remember Halo. Like, I played Halo. Halo's fun. It ain't that fun. It ain't 18 hours fun. Fuck that. That's goddamn, nigga. His mother, Susan, eventually caught him playing the game. And you in trouble. She informed Pops, and which, you know, what did dad tell him? I would take that fucking game. So that's what Pops did. He took the game from Daniel, you know, and he grounded Daniel for, you know, going against the parents' wishes. Mark locked the game in the safe cabinet that also concealed his gun, his 9mm Taurus PT-92. Keep that in mind. This would turn out to be a grave mistake for Mark. So fast forward to October 20th, 2007, about a week after the game was confiscated from Pops, from Daniel, by his pops, Daniel used his father's key to unlock the safe and then take it back. I don't know why his dad would just leave his key willy-nilly. Your kid's kind of being an ass. It's not too far to think that he would take the goddamn key, man. Also,
taking his father's handgun that was right there. Like I said, this would turn out to be a grave mistake. Court reports stated that Daniel came up behind his parents as they were relaxing on the couch in the living room and said, "Would you close your eyes? I have a surprise for you." That sick motherfucker said, "Just close your eyes. I have a surprise for you." And then when they closed their eyes, Daniel then proceeded to shoot both of them. Yeah. Over a fucking video game. A video game. Have y'all played Halo? Damn. Ooh. His father said that his head went numb immediately and he saw blood pouring down his skull. Daniel shot his mother in the head, arms, and chest, killing her pretty much immediately. In court, his father testified that after Daniel shot both his parents, he tried to make the event look like a murder-suicide by placing the gun back in his dad's hands. And his dad said, he said, quote, "Hey, Dad, here's your gun. Take it." End quote. Fucking piece of shit. Jesus Christ. And just, I can't imagine this as a father. You just hear your son say that shit. A few minutes later, after, you know, he did this unspeakable fucking bullshit act, his sister and her husband, Heidi and Andrew Archer, came over for their prior plans of watching the baseball game together. Daniel didn't know about these plans. This was a complete surprise to him, so Daniel lied to them that they should not come in because their parents had been fighting. Then they heard groaning and pushed their way through and found the aftermath of the shooting. Yeah. Couldn't imagine seeing that. Just coming in and seeing that. And knowing that your brother probably did it is just like, damn. So, of course, his sister immediately just called the police. And before they got there, Daniel made an escape attempt by driving off in the family's van. With, of course, the fucking video game. That nigga left everything behind. That nigga literally took the video game and put the video game in the passenger seat like it was a fucking friend, like secured. Just fucking psycho fuck. Like, bro, it's Halo is not that good. I'm telling y'all that. The police caught up to him, of course, fucking idiot, and forced him out of the van, you know, with a roadblock. Pretty easy. He's just a fucking dumb kid. When the police were arresting him, he yelled, quote, "My dad shot my mom," end quote. So he's trying to sell the lie and the murder suicide thing. Too bad dad didn't die, motherfucker. So yeah, pops didn't die. They got him, secured him, and they got him to the hospital. Unfortunately, his mother was dead on scene. He brutalized her with bullets. That was just fucked up. His defense wasn't as worthless as Kevin's. They at least came up with a bullshit defense, even though it was just so weak it was laughable. I mean, just come on, guys. try better. I mean, try harder. I mean, just Jesus. So Daniel's trial was held on December 15, 2008 at Lorain County Common Pleas in front of a judge. Only a judge, James Burge. No jury was present at the trial. His defense attorney, James Kersey, claimed that because of the enormous amount of stress put on him due to his severe infection, the staph infection, Daniel was much more susceptible to being influenced by the game. So, guys, if you get a staph infection or any kind of infection, don't play video games, because obviously you're more susceptible to being influenced by them.
kind of fucking defenses. Yo, what's the shit? It's like, motherfucker, get the fuck out of my court. I would have been the judge, but get the fuck out of my courtroom. Like, are you fucking kidding me? The fuck are you talking about, man? His defense argued that Daniel was not in the right state of mind to understand the finality of shooting his parents. He wasn't in the right state of mind, meaning he was just in the evil state of mind, not the the right one, which is stable, good. He was in the fucking satanic state of mind. So yeah, he wasn't in the right state of mind. You are correct there. But he definitely knew the finality of shooting his parents. That I can tell you. He had been playing the games for so long that he did not comprehend the fact that death was a real thing and permanent. Yo, these defense attorneys, I hope y'all ain't working no more. I hope y'all are fucking doing like corporate law and just writing up fucking drafts and shit, because you niggas is worthless. You motherfuckers suck. The prosecuting attorney, of course, disagreed and said that Daniel showed no remorse for his actions and that he tried to set up the shootings as a suicide by placing the gun in his father's hands, obviously showing that he was in the mind that, yeah, I gotta make this shit, you know, look like I didn't do it. Planning. Yeah. First degree murder motherfucker. Daniel was, of course, tried for a first degree murder. Due to his age, though, of course, you know, if you're a fucking minor, you can't be sentenced to death. Although, I'm okay with that. Prison is far worse. The judge sentenced him to life in prison, with the possibility of parole after 23 years, which was the minimum sentence. I don't know why he was light on him, you know, considering the circumstances of the case. No reason to be light on this guy. No reason at all. I don't give a fuck if he's 16. Fuck this motherfucker. Halo? Nigga, fuck that. Nigga, you gone. But it was a bitch move, in my opinion, and to the rest of his family, I'm sure they think, yo, judge, you a bitch for that. The maximum sentence Daniel faced was life in prison without the possibility of parole, which is what the prosecuting attorney recommended for him and most other experts that were talking about the case also thought was the obvious sentence for him. I don't know. This judge was just fucking stupid. You too nice, judge. Like, some people deserve no breaks. Fuck this nigga. As I said, this case was a hot topic for anti-video game advocates, and it made a topic or the topic of video game violence amongst teens a subject in national media for months to follow. But my opinion has always been video games don't make kids violent, but they can push or influence kids that are already violent or that have, you know, just those mental issues like sociopathy or psychopathy and stuff like that to snap and commit acts like this piece of shit move that this fucking asshole did. Fuck this kid. I hope for the other piece of shit, Kevin Davis, that he is also getting brutalized in prison. The prisons, I don't know how they are up there, but hopefully they're really violent, and hopefully he's experiencing all that violence, and it's really bad. Cross my fingers. Well, gang, that wraps up this month's Unspeakable Crimes Committed by Teens and Young Adults. And while there's many more that I will go over in the future, those are the ones that stood out to me. I will go over the likes of James Bulger. I will definitely do that case because it's just one of those cases that's like, damn, these motherfuckers just did not learn shit. Career criminals. in that case. I'm definitely going to go over the Sylvia Likings case because that one is just so shocking. It's so fucked up. It is. It's called the American Junco Furuta case because this girl experienced similar brutality. And when you hear about from who, it's just like, fuck, man, it's so fucked up. So fucked up. But yeah, we'll definitely go over way more because just a lot of dark cases that cover that topic. But you know, guess what? Friday. Friday, October is here. So you know that means Halloween. So we got to cover some dark, dark shit. Because, you know, that, you know, because of that, I'm going to cover what I think to be some of the worst killers to ever walk, you know, these countries' plains. And the ones that I'm going to cover are, you know, I'm not going to cover the killers that y'all have heard about. I'm not going to cover the Ted Bundy, the, you know, the Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not going to cover those guys. Everyone's heard about those guys. Everyone talks about those guys. I want to cover some shit that, you know, that isn't heavily talked about in the true crime world. But yet these guys' brutality, body count, and crimes will make you wonder why they aren't talked about more. Because, I mean, it's just sheer sickness. Next week, we kick it off with a man who many experts actually believe is the most prolific and brutal serial killer ever in this country. Robert Kraft. I guarantee you a lot of y'all haven't even heard of this fucking guy. I've definitely deep dove after hearing a fucking a podcast about this guy. I was like, oh shit, I gotta dive into this motherfucker's life. Like, oh my God. Robert Kraft was a certified genius, like genius, with an IQ of 180. To put that in, you know, perspective and, you know, comparison to the smartest person right now, the smartest person has an IQ of 169. So, yeah, this motherfucker's, yeah. But not only was he a genius, he was one of the worst child killers, and his brutality was just fucking unmatched. It was goddamn. Whew. Think Joachim Kroll on steroids. I don't know if y'all remember Joachim Kroll when I covered him. That sick little, what was he, German, I think? Yeah. That sick little fucker. Ooh. So spooky season is about to be a wild one, gang. Make sure you do not miss a session in this one because I'm going to cover three of just some bad motherfuckers. Just sick, nasty, disgusting fucks. Just, yeah. As usual, guys, don't forget to subscribe. Share this with your friends. Share this episode with your friends. Get them, you know, give them something to start with. It's a little shorter, so, you know, maybe they can, you know, captivate them a little bit. I will be putting out two true crimes in a dime Sunday. I have some cases that, you know, I'm getting more details on, so I couldn't do it just now. But yeah, don't worry, you're gonna get a double true crime in a dime Sunday. It's some crazy shit happening out here in this world, baby. I'm telling you. So yeah, guys. Don't forget to also go to buymeacoffee.com/tokentalk. That's an easy way to subscribe and support as well. And also subscribe through Anchor FM. It's in the description box, in the Spotify link, and in the Breaker link, and in every other fucking description box link. That's an easy way to support. You can donate. And you can subscribe for monthly donations and monthly support. Hopefully I can start this merch stuff now that I got this little new, you know, cool little studio setup that I got going. and you know, start this merch thing. Thinking just pins and shirts to start, maybe a hat. Yeah, I already got the idea for the shirt or the shirts and the hat. The pins, not yet, but I'll figure it out. Yeah, guys, till Sunday, I'll holler at you. Almost forgot. We will be kicking off an NBA preseason show with my man Fritzy soon. So stay tuned for that as well. Yeah, love you guys. Stay high. Stay lovely. Stay peaceful. And don't forget, fuck R. Kelly. I'm out. Peace.
Hey, guys. I'd like to also give a nice little shout out. Make sure you guys go check out my good friends at Last Call Nation. Last Call Nation's a great merchandise brand and lifestyle brand that just promotes living the good life and also just living life to the fullest. Make sure you go visit them at lastcallnation.com. Also follow them on Instagram at lastcallnation and check them out on Facebook as well. Make sure you like their page and make sure you purchase some of that merch. Some pretty cool stuff on there too. I just ordered one of my shirts, so I should be getting that soon. And yeah, I'll definitely be plugging them every single time, guys, because like I said, amazing merch. Also remember to make sure you share their page with your friends so that, you know, they can also live life to the fullest. And just remember, life is too short. So grab every good time you can, because you never know when it's going to be your last call.